From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, presidential polling, can it be trusted? Justice Amy Coney Barrett, and why your vote for president means so much. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. While polls leading up to the election are beginning to tighten, you may be wondering how Joe Biden could be leading the polls when he doesn't seem to be doing much campaigning. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about the reliability of the polls is James Lee, CEO and founder of Susquehanna Polling and Research.
Let me ask you this question. I'm going to start right at the heart of it. Is there bias in some of the polling for purposes of potentially suppressing voter turnout?
There is, Tony. There is. Now, do I believe some polling firms are deliberately skewing the results with the hopeful outcome of suppressing the vote? I'm not prepared to say that's what's happening. That would be downright criminal. What I do think is happening, and this is happening to all of us, it's getting harder and harder to produce accurate polling. And there's many firms that refuse to believe that there's a submerged vote for Donald Trump that just is not registering in the polls. And when they get these surveys back from their call centers, and this has happened to us, and the results simply don't pass the smell test. Common sense is really what's needed in looking at polls. And you have a poll back. This happened in 2016 in Pennsylvania. One of the more reputable academic institutions of Pennsylvania, Franklin and Marshall College, Lancaster, PA, Ivy League school, showed Hillary Clinton winning Pennsylvania by 11 points, Tony, just 3 days before Trump's one-point win in Pennsylvania. Those are the polls that should never be released. So I think what's happening is these firms are deliberately releasing them with the intention of suppressing the vote. But I don't believe they're intentionally skewing the polls. That's criminal. But it is true that there's a submerged vote for Trump in a lot of our polling. And if you can't figure out how to adjust for it, you should rip the poll up instead of putting it out there. And that's what we're seeing is a lot of firms that are very questionable in nature putting out polls with leads for Biden. You saw it in Wisconsin, a 17-point lead for Joe Biden in a state that has been trending Republican in the last three election cycles is absolutely, completely disbelievable.
Jim, I think that's a very important distinction to make, because even as a former police officer, if you're going to get a conviction, you have to have intent. So maybe there is not intent to skew the polls. And I took enough statistics in college to know that you can kind of, I mean, you've got to have a model that works. And we've seen things change over, I mean, it's changing very rapidly, but let's take the last decade, where people's, for instance, cell phones, doesn't that change the way you reach people? The fact that you don't have access to home phones that much anymore, that's one element. But the hidden Trump support that you made reference to is a part of kind of that leftist intimidation that's out there, the media's attack on Donald Trump, where people are hesitant to identify with him with a pollster. And if you're not taking that into consideration when you're conducting polling, you're going to have skewed results. Is that an accurate assessment of what you said?
It sure is. And we've been able to pinpoint in battleground states like Pennsylvania, Tony, and this happened to us too. A few weeks back, we put a poll in the field, got it back. I compared Trump's numbers in Western Pennsylvania, which went for him by a 2-to-1 margin 4 years ago, 2-to-1. This is a working class, blue collar area, lots of fracking, big on natural gas and oil production. This is an area that will be huge for Trump next week. And we got our own pullback, and it showed Biden tied with Trump there. And I said to myself, this is not right. And look, you know, pollsters make assumptions about how many Republicans to talk to, how many Democrats, how many people with a cell phone, how many people with a landline. When a pollster gets back a survey that just doesn't make sense, like to have one candidate winning an area that 4 years ago went 2-1 for another candidate, we know it's mathematically impossible that everybody in this region of the state changed their minds, then don't release it. But instead, we're getting these garbage polls put out by firms that don't care about their reputations. Many of them are academic institutions, and, you know, life goes on for them. They got their tenure. They'll put out a poll that shows a candidate winning by 10 and he loses by 10. Life goes on. For guys like me in the private sector, not so much. We put our reputations on the line, and if a poll comes back and it just doesn't make sense, Tony, don't put it out there. And I'm appalled at some of the polling we're seeing being released now, showing leads for one candidate, particularly Joe Biden, in double digits in states that Trump carried 4 years ago. Absolute nonsense. I wasn't afraid to stand up and say something needs to change. The American Association of Public Opinion Research needs to crack down on these bogus firms and start sanctioning firms that don't come up with better technologies and techniques for how to do surveys. And, you know, some firms are putting out different sets of numbers, Tony. I saw one for Monmouth University, polling in a lot of battleground states. They released a poll saying, all right, among registered voters, Biden's up by 10. Among this version of likely voters, Biden's only up by 7. Among this version of likely voters, Biden's only up by 4. With that, it's a cover your butt poll. And that's got to stop. That's got to stop.
With the changing, I mean, look, the landscape in America has changed. Culturally, it's changed. I mean, we've lost some civility, clearly. I mean, we've got rioting in the streets, you know, and it's associated. You got people going after Trump, saying things we had talked about earlier. And so you've got to work harder to get an accurate poll because you've got to adjust for those elements and you got to dig deeper to get it. That's what you're talking about with your Folger group. Same thing. I've had them, Tom, on the program talked about that as well. But I think you're on to something here. You're the first one I've heard say that, look, we've got to have a standard for this and we should have the American Association of Public Opinion Researchers crack down on this. The other thing, quite frankly, Jim, the media is the one that, you know, allows these firms to continually do bad polling or at least release the bad polling because it helps the narrative that the leftists in the media want to push forward. We ought to just have a list of, after every election, how far off these polling firms were. And, you know, and every time they come up with the next election cycle and start pushing out their garbage, just remind the American public where they were last time.
Tony, you hit the nail on the head, and I'm willing to bet, and I'm on your show today, because, look, I'm a small potatoes pollster in Pennsylvania that I'm pretty sure I'm on today because you heard about a memo I put out a month ago taking on our liberal newspaper in Harrisburg, PA, for calling the pollster from Franklin and Marshall College a polling expert in one of their stories, the same guy that had Clinton winning by 11 points 4 years ago, and I had had enough. It was my tipping point. I fired off an email to the Patriot News saying, this has got to end. How could you call this institution an expert in polling when they missed Pennsylvania so badly? And the chain of events since then, I think that memo got picked up and ultimately, I think, led to probably you finding out about who we are. We're just a small potatoes polling firm in PA that decided it was time to stick up for the industry.
Well, you're one of the few, Jim, that... You're one of the few, Jim, that's willing to stand up and say, hey, I think there could be some ulterior motives here because putting out this garbage polling, as you have stated, what this does, and I know from being in the political world for like 25 years, it has the impact in some cases of suppressing turnout because people say, oh, what difference does it make? My vote won't matter because that candidate's so far ahead, when in fact we know that's not the truth.
It certainly isn't the truth. And in that memo to the Patriot News, I mentioned the impact of a poll that shows one candidate winning by double digits just days before an election. And how could we not say that's voter suppression? I mean, how dare they do that without some understanding of how methodology impacts polling? We need to change this. This is happening too often. And I hope other polling firms out there will stand up and say this with us. Even consultants, I'm disappointed in consultants that run campaigns need to stand up and say, this has got to stop. No one's getting anything from this. This is dividing.
Yeah, we need honesty. We need honesty in our polling. Jim, thank you for standing up and calling out, and thank you for joining us here today on Washington Watch.
You're welcome, Tony.
You can find out more about James Lee, as well as a variety of tools to help you when you cast your ballot, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
Aw, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed, so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Over the past few months, on Wednesday evenings, Family Research Council has been hosting online video events we've called Pray, Vote, Stand. This week, FRC President Tony Perkins sat down with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Senator Graham is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and talked with Tony about the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court.
Senator Graham, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, and I am a very happy man. I feel like the world's off my shoulders, because given Kavanaugh, Tony, you never knew what they were capable of doing. Judge Barrett made it through with flying colors, and I want to thank you and your listeners for the prayers and the support. I've been on your show many times, and I could do it. I know that all of us sitting up there, Republicans, we had Amy's back and you had our back, and it was just a great day. It's time to count our blessings. We have a lot to be grateful for in the last 3.5 years.
Well, Senator Graham, the majority leader, Senator Mitch McConnell, before the vote made very clear that, you know, a lot of the things that the Senate does will be undone or possibly forgotten. But this is one of those things that has a generational impact, and you've been a key part of seeing these constitutionalists placed onto our courts. This is a big issue coming up in next week.
Yeah, so transformational is the way I would look at it. We've transformed the court to have a kind of, you know, every middle-of-the-road person should be pleased with a Judge Barrett, because she will not impose her will upon the nation. She will look at the law and the Constitution and apply it to the facts. Liberals hate that idea. They want judges to finish out the liberal agenda when it fails at the ballot box. Very activists in nature, trying to get outcomes, and words and statutes and constructs of the Constitution are only impediments to getting outcomes. So the country's in great shape with the court that we have today. But if we lose next Tuesday and the Democrats take the House, the Senate, and the White House, they're going to undo this all. Whether they pack the court by expanding the number or come up with some goofy idea of rotating judges, the concept is to make the court liberal and undo the conservative majority we've created. So the job is not done until we make sure we at least hold the Senate, and hopefully, God willing, get President Trump reelected.
You know, Senator, I've been in Washington now over 17 years, and one thing I have learned is when the liberals, the leftists, make a claim that they're going to do something, I actually believe them. Because eventually they will see it through. And as they have talked about repeatedly over the last few weeks of packing the courts, trying to dilute the effort that was put forth by this administration and by the Republicans in the Senate, based upon last election that gave them the authority to do so, I believe that they very well may do that.
Oh, they're going to do some form of it. You know, Joe Biden's along for the ride. All the energy in the Democratic Party is with the Bernie Sanders on economics and AOC and the squad on structural changes. You know, Biden's in a box. He can't say yes to packing the court because he'll lose middle America. He can't say no because he'll lose his left flank. So he says, we'll talk about it after the election. When it comes to this group, you need to assume the worst, that they're going to change the structure of the court, that they're going to make D.C. a state. They're going to abolish the Electoral College, which means that only a couple of states really matter that much in terms of electing the president. So we should assume that they're telling us the truth. And here's the good news. There are enough people in this country to stop them. A lot of them go to church. Everybody at your church, if you're listening in a pastor, you need to make sure that people understand the consequences of not voting. Not voting is the same as agreeing with this agenda. If you have a chance to vote and you're eligible to vote and you choose not to vote, that's a vote in and of itself.
You're absolutely right. I've been traveling around the country. I was in Georgia actually last night speaking to a group of Baptist pastors heading back out on the road to Florida. What I'm actually seeing is actually quite encouraging. I think the polling is not reflective of what's happening. I do believe you're in a close election. The president's in a close re-election. But I'm not believing the polls because I don't think they want to encourage us to see this across the finish line. But I want to ask you the one final question, Senator Graham. With the re-election of Donald Trump, what does the next 4 years look like for our country? What are we going to be able to accomplish?
From a conservative point of view, it would be a dream come true. 4 more years of picking judges. We're up to 220. We reshaped the court at the circuit level, at the district level. We've put 3 constitutional conservatives on the court, Supreme Court. 4 more years means that you'll pick at least 1 or 2 more justices, which would take us into decades of conservative Supreme Court justices, judiciary. It means the military, you're a Marine, is going to be in the hands of a commander-in-chief that will make it strong and allow us to win the war and destroy the war when we can. It means lower taxes. It means continuing to secure the border, finish out the wall, and fix a broken immigration system rationally. If we lose, they're going to open borders, free health care for illegal immigrants. It means lower taxes. It means the government in the hands of business people versus activists. From the pro-life perspective, it means that 4 more years of the most pro-life president in my lifetime, in your lifetime, I think, quite frankly. The bottom line is I'm excited about what would happen to this country if President Trump could get another term and we keep the Senate. I'd love to take the House back, but when it comes to judges, just the Senate and the White House gets you to where you want to go. And we've seen with a Senate and White House, you can do a lot of good. The commander-in-chief matters. I know you're a military guy. 4 more years of a strong president, that means the Iranians will not get the benefit of the Obama deal. He'll stay out of the deal. For Israel, it means that they will have the best friend since Harry Truman to our friends in Israel. It means you'll have a president who has our friends in Israel's back, and God blesses those who bless Israel. It's transformational. It means school choice. It means that we'll have a president pushing school choice so that poor kids throughout the country, their parents will have a chance to send them to the best school, not to the ones that the teacher unions dictate. So I'm excited about it. I think he's going to win. I pray that he wins. I sense things on the ground in South Carolina, and I know this is a conservative state, but people are on fire here to vote for the president and to get me reelected. I see it moving in the right direction. But to everybody out there who's got a friend at church, a friend at work, educate them, get them to the polls.
Absolutely. I agree with you in terms of the excitement of the next 4 years. And let me just say this in closing, Senator. I mentioned, you know, the great work you've done on the courts, but you've also led in the Senate on the life issue and as well as religious freedom. Very important issues and where I think we can see great gains, additional gains, I should say, in the next 4 years. So, Senator, thanks so much for taking time to be with us.
Well, Tony, you and your team really matter. You've been a great, you've had an impact on the court. You've had an impact of getting our agenda done. I think you're at the top of your game, and I say that with a deep respect for what you and the FRC has done. And, you know, now's our time. Let's get it done. 1 more week.
All right, Senator, thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Senator Graham when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, all of our Pray, Vote, Stand events are archived at TonyPerkins.com. So even if you missed one, you can always go back and watch. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
Are you looking to grow closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ and in your knowledge of God's Word? Family Research Council has a three-part series titled, Three Ways to Read the Bible. This series shares helpful ways to be encouraged and directed by God's truth by observing the text of the Bible and applying it to your life. There is no better time than now to get to know God through His Word by looking into the Bible to see what it says about itself, God, and humanity. There's no better time than now to begin devoting time to the Lord and to seek out His meaning for you. This blog series is a great primer on opening your eyes and heart to Him through the Bible amid the toils and troubles of today. Check out this helpful resource and learn how to read the Bible with not just your eyes, but with your heart and mind as well. To learn more, visit frcblog.com/ways to read. That's frcblog.com/ways to read.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With this election season drawing to a close, there may still be some in our audience who haven't made their final decision on who to vote for. Well, we have some helpful advice for you from Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
You know, William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said this. He said, quote, "Government, like clocks, go from the motion men give them, and as governments are made and moved by men, so by them they are ruined also. Therefore, governments depend upon men rather than men upon governments." You know, Penn's insight has been proven correct as we look at the condition of government in America at every level. Our national debt is rapidly approaching $30 trillion as governments have taken over more and more of the responsibilities that belong to the individuals, to churches, and to other institutions. Consider this, over 60 million babies have been killed by government-sanctioned abortion. The court has redefined marriage over the people's express actions, and now sexual confusion has become near pandemic among America's youth as school curriculum promotes this radical view of sexuality that defies scientific truth and biblical morality. Now, I could go on and on, but I think you get the point. We get out of government what we put into it. Now, as we approach the opportunity we have every 4 years to select our leaders, we are hearing once again, as I mentioned, from some evangelical leaders. Many of those in the camp of the Never Trumpers are again raising the issue of character and suggesting it is better to sit this election out than to vote for Donald Trump. Let me first say that I agree with them that character matters. Back to William Penn's comments, our government's character will reflect the characters we put in it. If we want righteous government, we need men and women who understand righteousness because they are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We need those type of people being elected to office and being placed in government positions. But I will say this. I do wonder how many of those who are talking about the character of political candidates have actually worked to see men and women of Christian faith elected to office. Have they given money to their campaigns? Have they lent their influence to help them? Have they offered their platforms to give exposure to these Christian men and women who have been called to public service? See, my experience as a candidate and as an elected official is that very few of them have been willing to step into the arena where the clash of worldviews actually occurs. It's much safer to be a commentator on the sidelines. The result of Christian leaders playing it safe as spectators rather than participants in our republic often leaves us as voters with difficult choices. Choices between candidates whose characters are less than ideal and far below the biblical criteria of what we should be looking for in our leaders. So what are we as Christian voters supposed to do at this point? Say we're going to let someone else decide because we don't like the choice that's before us? Well, here's my suggestion. We should do what most evangelicals did 4 years ago. They considered the real choice before them, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Knowing that both had issues of character, issues from their past, they considered their priorities, their policies, and their personnel that they publicly embraced. Now, based on what has happened in the last almost 4 years, let me say this on the record. I do not regret my decision to support Donald Trump one bit. Do I agree with everything he has said and done? No. But I also realize that a lot of the conflict and division that we see is the result of him and his administration standing up to those leading who have been leading this nation down the path that has produced the consequences I mentioned earlier. He is a disruptor, and that brings conflict. Do I agree with the language and vulgarity that occasionally comes from the president? No. But because of the relationship that evangelicals have established with this president, I've been able to communicate those concerns on more than one occasion. But I have a whole lot more to agree with this president than I would disagree with. Let me start with a big one. In keeping with William Penn's insight, personnel is policy. In other words, it's not just the person you elect, but who they surround themselves with and bring into their administration that has a tremendous impact on the policies that come from government. One of Trump's cabinet secretaries, who's a personal friend, quipped to me one day, "President Trump may not be a Sunday school teacher, but he sure knows how to hire them." And it is those Sunday school teachers that have carried out the promises made by President Trump to advance the sanctity of human life, to restore religious freedom, and to rein in the runaway activist courts, just to name a few. Like Ronald Reagan, some of the previous Republican presidents were really good men. But apparently they didn't know how to hire those Sunday school teachers. And as a result, very few of their promised moral reforms actually happened. From the sanctity of human life to the restoration of religious freedom to the placement of men and women of principle and constitutional convention on the courts, there has not been a better president in my lifetime than Donald Trump. I do not believe it is morally, biblically acceptable to sit on the sidelines.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, reminding you that portions of this show discussing political candidates are paid for by Family Research Council Action. Thank you for being with us, and I want to encourage you to pray, to vote, and to stand, and to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.